This is the wrestling-focused topic of Just Watch. I'm your host, Coleman Monroe, and with me is Justin Lacey. How are you doing, Justin?
Doing all right. How you doing, Cole?
Good. I'm excited to talk about wrestling, especially after not doing so. Sounds like you had a really crazy week at work. So.
Yeah, we were pretty... I think we're both excited after the last pay-per-view, and I was like, well, I don't really have time to talk about wrestling, but it's all I thought about when I had downtime the past week. It's like, So I hit you up today. I was like, we need to talk about wrestling. I need to get this out of my system.
Yeah, and I've been wanting to podcast pretty much since Hell in a Cell, so I was happy to get in here and talk about it today. So let's start at Hell in a Cell. I'll actually start at the pre-show.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the pre-show?
No, I was halfway paying attention to it. So I watched a little bit of Ms. Dow TV, which always makes me happy, anything to do with Ms. Dow. So just that they gave that some more time was good enough for me, but I didn't actually watch any of the matches.
Yeah, they gave it a lot of time. And I hope it doesn't start getting stale.
I don't think it will, but they've got to... I think their problem is that it's not getting stale, and they need to somehow move on. But it's still going really well. So timing the eventual turn, and you know, our whole fear is like, are they actually going to do anything with Mizdow? Are they going to do anything with Damian Sandow? Because they never do anything with him, and the crowd loves him right now. And
yeah, he is so over; it's crazy.
But a Mizdow versus Miz match would be fantastic.
Yeah, do you think it has to be for the belt? You think Miz is going to keep it until that turn?
No, and I think the more they make it about, the more feuds they can come up with that aren't belt-centered, I think the better off their creative is, because they have so many mid-carders that we really like and enjoy, but the belt cannot be their only motivations, because there's not enough belts to go around, nor do any of the belts mean anything. Maybe the Intercontinental will, but the US belt definitely doesn't mean shit.
No, it definitely doesn't. But I just think it's those three characters, and I do not like Sheamus one bit.
Right.
Like, he's boring to me. I'm sure he's a fine person, but as a character, I'm not a fan.
The more I watch him, the more it's just he's such an unnatural fit as a babyface. Like, I mean, because they play into the Irish stereotype, like he should just be able to brawl at any minute with very little motivation. And that short fuse does not lend itself to being a babyface. And I think he could have much more fun being a heel. But
sure. But what I was getting to is, like, I'm really a fan of him and Miz and Mizdow, like, working together right now. Like, Mizdow, when he was impersonating Sheamus, that was probably one of my favorite parts of this whole character that he has going right now. Just the white suit he had on underneath the actual ring gear of Sheamus and t-shirt was just, it was so dumb, but just so perfect for that character. I really enjoyed it, but that's way too much on Miz Dow and the pre-show.
Or is it?
I don't know. It might've been the best thing all night. Paul Heyman was on the panel.
He's weird on those panels.
Yeah, he plays it super straight,
right?
For the most part. But then when Booker said his little
shucky ducky
shooting and jiving or whatever it is, and then Paul Heyman was kind of shocked. And then when Booker told him it was probably trending, you see Paul Heyman get out his phone and check to see if it's trending, and then shove it in Booker's face with like this kid like amazement that it was actually trending. He's like, oh my god, it actually is, and he shows him his phone. So that I got a kick out of that. I thought that was pretty funny because it seemed kind of natural.
Yes, yeah, but
instead of everything else on the panel, Heyman, that is always super scripted.
Is the and it's always weird when they bring in that fourth person that has to kind of be in character. And it's like Heyman's character right now isn't about promoting anybody else. Like, he's not going to give a shit. And that they found a moment that actually worked was pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it. And then Mark Henry versus Bo Dallas, a match that I do not recall. I'm sure
Mark Henry went.
Mark Henry kicked his ass, or Bo Dallas snuck a win.
I think Mark Henry won. They've done better, at least, because they almost trapped themselves into another character that had a winning streak, and I'm glad that they've gotten away with that with Bo Dallas. They still have yet to do anything with Bo Dallas, and luckily I didn't watch NXT when he was making a big run, so I'm not really sick of him. I still crack up every time he does a victory lap, especially when he does one in match. I keep waiting for them to do something with Bo.
Yeah, and I think the undefeated gimmick is weird for him, it was there for a while, you know. Like, it works for certain people, like a Rusev, or even back in the past, a Goldberg, like, had undefeated streaks kind of build monsters.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that was necessarily a right choice for him.
I was surprised when he kind of came out with that. I was like, oh, I mean, yes, he's 7-0, but can you stop talking about it so it isn't a thing? But then they kind of curbed it, and he's done just as good without it, which isn't saying much. But I like me some Bo.
I just want him to be successful, because I kind of like the character.
Yeah, it's just I think there's a lot of potential there.
Opportunity. Yeah. All right, so let's. Let's run down the card here. We're going to talk about the first match. Ziggler versus Cesaro.
Because it was the best wrestling
before
match?
Before we even get to the card to run it down, we're going to stop at match one. A couple things that stood out to me. Well, one major thing that stood out to me was, besides the actual matches, the match was like, I just want them to go for an hour.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, it was so short for a 2 out of 3 falls match. And it was awesome.
Yes.
Like, every bit of it was awesome. I just want them to get as much time as they need or can actually hold the attention of the audience. Like, if they need a little bit more time to get to an hour, sure, work your way there. Mm-hmm. But damn, I could watch these dudes wrestle over and over again.
I really like how Ziggler's been booked since he kind of got back in the Intercontinental title picture. Like, I thought that stuff's gone really well, and then I was excited that when him and Cesaro kind of picked up, because I thought they were going to continue the Cesaro-Sheamus angle. But yeah, there was a lot of promise, and like you said, I could have watched that for an hour and a half. But it was good for them that they at least pulled out a surprise ending, because we can't remember the last time we saw a 2 out of 3 falls match and after 2 falls.
Yeah, that was really interesting that they chose. It was, and I'm sure it's been done before, but it was a creative way to kind of curb expectations of the fan base and kind of do a little twist there on the ending. I just want to point out a spot real quick.
Sure.
The impressive strike by Cesaro where they were both on the top rope, and he basically just lifted him up without Ziggler jumping for him.
Yeah.
Off the top rope, and I thought that was pretty impressive.
Wasn't there also a whole segment where he was carrying Ziggler around the ring, like he was like doing this kind of like hug move, but all the weight was on Cesaro, and it's just
The whole time for a couple of minutes, mm-hmm. and that preceded the superplex, because then he climbed the top rope while Dolph was hanging on him and then superplexed him.
No, I think, you know, it's kind of a bummer to always see that they. You know, having Cesaro lose 2-0 is not good, but he looked as good as you can when you lose 2-0, and it wasn't all that surprising since they haven't really given him a push, so they can't really bury him any further than they have, so it doesn't really hurt too much, but I still want them to do something with Cesaro. But I think, you know, matches with Ziggler are a good start, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully they find something soon for him.
Yeah, what's weird for me is, they have in Cesaro and Ziggler guys who could
work with anybody.
Work with anybody and have fresh matches, especially with Roman Reigns and Bryan being out.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they don't. Maybe there's something going on that we don't know about. Maybe they don't think they can handle the pressure of being on that main event. But those two can be there. And have the fan base that could keep them there.
I keep thinking that they might push Cesaro, but they have not leaned into it. And, you know, every time, so since we started really watching, getting back heavy into wrestling at the same time here since the network kind of came out, It's been interesting for me to stay on the fringe and not really get into the whole internet wrestling community stuff. I, like, get upset about all the things you're supposed to be upset about.
Right.
Because the thing that sticks out to me is, like, you can complain about WWE creative and, like, burying mid-carders and not pushing the people that should be pushed and what they're doing with the main storylines. But I can't remember, and you have a better history than I do, but I can't remember a time when this many, like, main storyline guys just kept falling to injury for this amount of time. It's like the amount of, like, turns that they've had to make of that big stage. I kind of give them a pass at some of the stuff that's been going on elsewhere. It's like when Bryan's out for as long as he is and may not be back, and Reigns falling out, like, right when he's getting the push, and just them trying to scramble to get something together for each month. Something's gonna fall to the wayside, and I feel like it's been these guys, but also it's kind of opened the door that there's room for them to get pushed, and I hope they take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't ever remember a time where, you know, their 1B, maybe number 2 star leaves at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And CM
Punk. Yeah, it started before injuries. It started with CM Punk.
CM Punk, your 1B to Cena's 1A, mm-hmm. pretty much in terms of number of fans. Not as much, but, like, in the company, he's there. Mm-hmm. He leaves. And then Bryan has this impressive rise at WrestleMania, incredible fan backing, basically was CM Punk, mm-hmm. you know, at Money in the Bank a couple years ago. That kind of popularity after the pipe bomb. And then he gets out. And then Reigns, like, the day before Night of Champions, was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
He has this
hernia
or ulcer or something, and he's out.
But you think about that. You go back, like, didn't CM Punk leaving accelerate a little bit of their plans with Bryan, or change them a little bit?
It changed definitely WrestleMania.
And then Bryan leaving accelerated their plans to split up the Shield.
Yeah.
And so they're banking on all that, which gets them to push Reigns even sooner, and then he falls out. And in the meantime, yeah. Like, some of this stuff, like it's why I can't get upset when they've lost the Wyatts, and it's like they're juggling so much.
Yep.
And
they have to write a ton of TV.
Yeah, and it's and building up like the mid carders like Cesaro, like, well, they don't have any established space. They haven't had time to do that. So
sure, and that's a fair point. And not even to mention, like, the Batista thing bombing too. That was part of it.
Yeah, they had to take a lot of sharp turns, and
yeah.
I'm still pretty entertained regardless. So,
I mean, WWE has a hit and miss with this kind of stuff. Of, you know, sometimes they give the fans what they want. Sometimes they never do, and there's always that hope there. And I wonder if it's almost dropping the ball or just trying to spin too many plates, and it's nothing like ever done on purpose or anything like
that. But I guess my point going back to Cesaro was he's not been out of the picture. I like that this week he was wrestling Ambrose, so he's, like, with the hottest guy in WWE right now and putting on good shows. And
but he's still losing.
Yeah. But
and it shouldn't matter, and it really doesn't, wins and losses, in terms of how the fans feel, but, like,
but all this stuff,
for, like, the majority of the fans, it does matter.
Yeah. But all this stuff, like, I can't get caught up in the, oh my god, they're not pushing this guy, that means his career is over mentality that seems to happen every month.
Right.
Like, and like, there's still time for Cesaro. There's still so in the meantime, I just enjoy that he is in the regular rotation, putting on great matches, and they've been kind of doing the same thing with Ziggler, but, like, those two guys, it was just, like, it was amazing to see them together because they make everyone else look better, and it just looked like the most natural, entertaining wrestling match I've seen in a long-ass time.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think we should just stop there. That was that was great. I totally agree. I think it's just the idea of the title is in so many fans' minds that if you're not wrestling for the main belt, that you're not important. And
they've got too much TV time to fill for that.
They do. And focus. Yeah. And just enjoy the awesome 10 to 15 to 20 minute matches that we do get from them. You know? All right, so match two was Bri and Nikki, the Bellas.
Well, okay. Let's admit, I saw this posted later, this might have been the better wrestling match of the Divas matches. Like, regardless I don't give a shit about any of the drama around the Bellas.
Sure, and that's the bad part, too, because they're just not very entertaining actors.
Right.
But they've gotten really decent at wrestling.
Yes, especially Nikki. Like, she's got some moves that look like they hurt,
might actually hurt.
Because I'm not sold on Bri by any means, but, like, Nikki's coming along on the wrestling side, and just I still get mad. Like, and I get it. Like, it's the problem with WWE is, and I've heard Triple H mention this, that, like, you know, all their shows can promote all their other shows, and then just having this spot that is for Total Divas. Okay, I can maybe give that to you on the 3-hour Raw, but, like, the fact that they keep putting in the pay per views is annoying. But at the same time, like I said, this match was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it was, and I don't really have anything bad to say about the wrestling.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good. But we don't have a whole lot to say.
Man, not invested in the outcome.
No. Match three, we might have a little bit to say. Usos versus the Dust Brothers. The Dusty Boys retain the championship. What did you think about this match?
I just... The Dust Brothers saved it for being entertaining. Like, I still... They've done... This was the probably the worst of their big matches between the Usos and the Dust Brothers. Like, that's just been...
I think we just seen it.
Yeah. It was just like they didn't... They haven't done good with building up the drama around it. And I have started to embrace the Dust Brothers as heels. So that's good. Like, they get to... It's weird because we like them so much, but at least
it's because they're just entertaining wrestlers, and I think that's part of where maybe the fans are confused, because they were being cheered, and then they haven't really changed that much.
Yeah,
and now
they cheat a little bit though.
They cheat a little bit, but they don't do it enough, and they do it in an entertaining enough way that the fans are still kind of cheering for them, but they don't know if they're supposed to or not.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So I don't think the crowd is as into this matchup
that was the weird part.
Should be,
yeah.
I guess
it was an okay match, but
the finish was awesome. Whatever Goldust did, that suplex into the spinning facebuster, basically like a Sister Abigail or Cody Rhodes' old.
It wasn't Crossroads. If I remember right, did Stardust kind of chip the guy's leg or something he kind of did something subtle off.
Yeah,
the
I think
side.
He. Yeah, I think he. Took his knee out or something, and then right into Dust.
Like, man, Goldust, like, he every match he has something that's just like, holy shit, how are you still doing this? Like,
yeah, because he's got to be getting close to 50, I would say.
Yeah, DDP yoga, man.
he's like in the best shape of his life,
right?
And super, and
that's because that's amazing. The thing. Like, we're all excited about Stardust. We love Cody Rhodes. And but Goldust always has a moment in every match that he elevates it and keeps it at that top tier. So
and he hits the ropes harder than any other wrestler in WWE. Like, if you watch him running the ropes, he's so fast and he hits them so hard. It's so great, you know.
So were you surprised? Were you surprised the Dust Brothers won? I kept thinking they have to give it back to the Usos just because.
No, I think because the Usos had it for so long that they're trying to see what they have with heel champions to make them chase worthy, perhaps maybe the Ascension comes up or something. We'll see.
They've got a lot of potential guys to call up, and
the team division is pretty dry.
Yeah,
especially with the breakup of Rowan and Harper.
Well, did they break up? Like, they've been set free, but yeah, I don't. So that stuff has yet to play out. But they've got. I really like the NXT tag division, and they could call up a couple teams from there to make it entertaining. So. Having the Lucha Dragons or the Vaudevillains work with Dust Brothers sounds awesome to me.
Yes. Holy crap. I think they would come up with some creative, very creative wrestling and entertaining tag team matches.
And I know that's a long time off. They can't call them all up, but, when you say the Ascension, that doesn't excite me. So
no. And I wonder how much the thriving tag team division in NXT is Triple H focused, you know, or responsible for, just because tag teams haven't been a thing at the big show for a long time.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. That's the other thing. Like with the Divas stuff, you only have so many slots in the card for tag team matches. So how many teams do you really need, but you need to have an interesting rotation to keep it fresh. So,
well, I think it's, you can make more money off a singles wrestler than you can a team any day. Cause you're going to split two people up instead of just one. So you make a lot more money individually. All right. So then the surprise match four, because I thought it was probably going to main event or second from last.
And they did a good job of not telling anybody.
Yeah. Cena versus Orton. Hell in a Cell.
In the middle of the show.
In the middle of the show. Like right before, I guess, perceived intermission, you know, like where they would have an intermission if it wasn't live on TV.
Well, so here's the thing.
It's pretty boring for me.
My hiatus from wrestling pretty much is the Cena Orton era. So I haven't seen them wrestle too much. And they, you know, you can just tell they're just doing their thing. It was still boring to me. And the thing that was disappointing about it, is the most exciting part of the match was the fact that it was in the middle of the event, and that they knew that wasn't the main event, and that you can't understate that enough, because that says a lot about maybe where they see where things are actually going. But most disappointing thing about the match is like it didn't matter that it was in a Hell in the Cell, like.
Like no, not at all. There was
kind
nothing.
Of, like, they kind of whipped each other into the side a couple times, and I think this is the match where we thought they ripped the cell with the table, but it turns out those are the.
I think it was from the steel steps that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
seen through.
Yeah. But yeah, it just that you know they had some good table spots, but it was just like it could have just been a tables match.
Yeah, it was just pretty average. The RKO out of the AA was pretty interesting, but. I don't know if they've done that before. Where
that was kind of my reaction. I was like, that was cool, but I'm sure they've done that, right? They've had like 97 matches or something. So
it's pretty boring for the most part, but the ending was kind of decent, I think.
So, okay, we didn't know. We all assumed going in this match that Orton's making a face turn at some point. You can't really make a face turn on Cena, but I thought maybe there was a chance that they, since this was for the number one contender to see who fights Lesnar, they might mix it up and let Orton fight Lesnar. But, right. So we're going to get a third Lesnar Cena fight. And no one wants Cena with the belt. So it's just like, I wanted something different, and I don't know if I want to watch them fight a third time.
I'm okay with it. As long as Rollins cashes in on the winner.
Sure.
Like, I don't care who wins.
Okay, so...
As long as Rollins cashes in.
I'm on that train, because then I can have... Because then you can make a Rollins-Orton feud really interesting, because that would be the first person to want to go after Rollins. I mean, there's so many people that want to go after Rollins right now, but they would...
Which I think is great. Great storytelling.
And that would give power to the face turn for Orton... Because it really gives him some motivation to go after him and defy the authority to do it, because their guy has the... Yeah.
But do you think it's more interesting if Orton kind of just toes the line, walks the line a little bit between, becomes a tweener?
Yes.
I think it's way more interesting, and then he could still be in the authority, but do shit that pisses them off.
Yeah, because I really loved... I just rewatched this. I can't remember if it was on Raw or SmackDown, since I was watching the highlight replays. But when he RKO'd Rollins this week, just Triple H's face was just so perfect of just like, it's like his children are fighting and he's just, he can't really pick sides, but is so annoyed that he has to deal with this right now and really doesn't want to deal with this right now. But but it's also like, you kind of get the sense that they won't kick him out of the authority, but I don't know. It was sold beautifully. And like, if anybody can like walk a line between being face and heel, I think that's a good place for Orton.
Yeah, and I think the potential is there for him to. I mean, he's pretty over with the crowd and gets a good pop when his music hits. But I can see him, like, towing the line, like, just going down, not towing the line, but just kind of always maybe even taking some starting getting from punishment from the authority for his actions against Rollins.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of even turning him even more face where the crowd is like, let's see him when it really, down the line after months and months of this, when it really is getting on his nerves, then he just does a complete turn. Then he could make some money as a face from that. But
so I know they were trying to build, like, one of the other rumors was Reigns Triple H at WrestleMania. Has there been much Orton Triple H? Does that excite you in any way?
I think that does a little bit, because I think it's going to be Reigns and Lesnar, as from right. what I've seen.
Well, no, it was like before they were like all in on Reigns. It seemed okay. like they were going to try to build him up. And I feel like they thought they might have Bryan back in the picture, and now that's not going to happen for WrestleMania. No. So no. I thought before, okay, Reigns Lesnar, it was going to be he'd build up to the belt by going through Triple H. So
yeah, I think that would be.
I think Orton Triple H. Have they fought? Like, I feel like they've always been on the same side.
Orton Triple H.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. They fought when Orton won his first championship. So I mean, it's been like 10 years. Okay. But when they were first in Evolution, and Orton won the championship, and then they turned on him.
I mean, yeah, I guess I don't know the full motivation, but technically that would be a very entertaining match. So.
Yeah, I think it would be, for sure. So then we can move on to Sheamus versus Miz. We kind of already talked about this feud a little bit. Miz Dow is awesome.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about it? I mean,
just that it's also been really great for the Miz character. I know people hate him so much, and honestly, like, the first pay-per-view I got after my hiatus was when Miz had the title at WrestleMania, and I was like, what the fuck has happened? What in the real world has happened? And and I know people hate him, but like, his character is so damn good, like, especially like since he's embraced the Johnny Cage-ness of it.
Yes.
That made it for an entertaining match. It had nothing to do with Sheamus. But I did enjoy the Sheamus YMCA stuff.
Yeah, God.
But I don't remember anything in the match. It was kind of, I want to say, was that the other one where I don't even think they tend to not do commentary on Sheamus matches. Like, it's just like they're talking about everything else.
I don't remember much of the match, but I just want to say on the Miz, I think fans are hating him enough. Like, they always have. Mm-hmm. But what's different is, like, that hate has turned into almost enjoying hating Miz, whereas before it was just like,
yes,
I just hate you and your character, and I want you off my screen. Now the hate is like, please, Miz, do your stupid Miz shit, but mm-hmm. I'm loving it and also hating you.
I won't have patience for him when Miz Dow is not involved, because it just accents everything so well.
It does. Yep.
But it's also becoming obvious that, I mean, he's such an average worker, the Miz. So, and it's obvious that Sandow House has something else if they can figure out what to do with him on his own.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting once they have their match, what happens with both of them. Yep. If they can even be something separate from each other. All right. So the next match is a Big Show versus Rusev. And
I'll admit every, except for Mark Henry, I've bought into, okay, they might let Rusev lose every pay-per-view. I've been kind of like, I know they're doing the win streak thing, but they've got to end it sometime. So, okay, yeah, this might be the one. I haven't bought into the USA angle. I still think that they need to somehow make a shift with that. Because I think Rusev's character will be weakened by it. But I kind of bought in. It's like, well, it's the Big Show. Like, they might let him win. And I was kind of shocked that they let him tap out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a history of these kind of characters in the WWF, WWE, and Rusev is on his way to Cena. I think that's the only, and Cena's going to beat him, and so, he's going to be the conquering, or he's going to destroy the conquering hero of Russia.
They won't let Cena beat him?
Yeah.
You don't think they let Rusev beat him and then Cena wins like a rematch or something like that? I'm kind of hoping Cena's out of that role by the time Rusev has climbed all the ranks.
Cena wins. Cena wins.
Do they give Rusev a belt on his way up?
On his way up. He doesn't need it.
Right.
It's
so disappointing to hear that you're probably right.
I think even stopping at a belt slows him down.
Sure. No, I mean, do you think they give him the heavyweight title then?
Oh, potentially at some point, depending on when Reigns comes back, and depending on how long they want to build this thing. If he gets to Cena before the belt, then he's not going to get a belt. But
and so you think that was the Rock thing just a one-off? Yeah, like just for that Raw, just a cheap pop.
Yeah, I think it was. Hey, this guy's pretty hot right now. We could surprise the hell out of the New York crowd with The Rock and have him just make fun of people that the crowd hates. So I think that's a one-time thing. The more interesting thing is The Rock's and Triple H's interaction after that Raw. Did you see
what was going on there?
It was actually pretty comical.
Was this on air?
No, this was on the network after the show. So you should look it up and watch it, but it's pretty good. But they hint really strongly at WrestleMania.
Of them two fighting?
Yep.
I did see that. Like, yeah. All right.
I mean, each of them was like listing their accomplishments and then say, and then if we were facing, I would rock bottom you and give you the people's elbow in the center of the ring and Triple H's, and then I would kick out and give you a pedigree. It was just like two high school jocks like bantering about which one was better.
I wonder if Rock notices that like his return to WrestleMania, his return to the rings, his fights have not been that good. Like, I know he's got injured at least one or two of them, right?
Yeah, the last one he tore his abs.
Yeah, so it's just like I feel like he needs to go out with a decent match, and it would be fun to see him and Triple H beat the hell out of each other if they let it go to that extent, but I don't know if they would.
Yeah, I don't know if they would either, but it would be to see them. It would be something different.
Fantasy booking. They keep rumoring Stone Cold coming back at some time. Just throw all three of them in the ring together.
Throw Stinger in there too.
The Attitude Match. I don't know what they're going to do with Sting. They're not bringing him back to the ring, right? They
are for one match, I think. WrestleMania.
That's not going to be a good match. Like he didn't.
It would be at least. It would be good to see it against the Undertaker. But
anybody else,
I don't know.
I'm okay if Undertaker doesn't come back.
I think I am too.
Because I don't know. Okay, then when do you end it? Like, I know you don't want to go out on the bad note, but like, you got to find something for him to go out on a high note. But can he perform?
Like maybe he should have gone out on that Michaels match or that CM Punk. Or the CM Punk match was really good too.
Or any of the ones before Lesnar, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right, so we're done with Big Show and Rusev.
Obviously.
We're not even talking about them anymore. Let's talk about that Ambrose promo before AJ and Paige's match.
Oh, love me some Ambrose. Because you don't always get promos during the pay-per-view, so it was a nice touch.
No, yeah, and it was creative, and he wasn't using cliches, and it was probably the best thing about the pay-per-view, in my opinion. Definitely anything that was just talking, because he just the commentators.
What was it? He just was the was it the string of
insults?
Yeah,
I can't remember them off the top of my head now, but they were creative to say the least. And then AJ and Paige, AJ wins.
Yep. I love me some AJ, but I've been over this for a long time, and none of these three women. I'll throw Alicia Fox in there. All their characters are crazy. There is nothing compelling about it. I mean, you can give them props for that they're not fighting over a man or they're not doing the Total Divas drama type of thing. But they're also not really doing anything. This whole, like, I hate you, I love you, you're my friend, you're not my friend. Like, It's frustrating because they have one slot, and there are so many talented divas behind them too. And Paige and AJ are so talented, and I mean, and Alicia Fox is too. I think her character just it makes me uninterested. That they could be doing a lot more, but I also realize they only have 15 minutes a week to work with.
Tops, yeah.
And so you have to give it to Paige and AJ because they're the best wrestlers. But I don't care.
But they don't. They don't have any chemistry.
No, they don't. That's been so.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, their matches have not been good.
No, it's like I don't know if it's because we've seen them have these matches before, or they just don't have any chemistry. And I think it's just they don't.
I mean, what is
they don't play off each other very well.
What is okay? One thing I like about Paige right now is they are making her a they're getting to the realm where she's a decent heel, and that division needs a heel. But what is the WWE fan's opinion of Paige if they didn't watch NXT? I mean, mine's just built up because I saw her work in NXT. And it's like, I know the talent that's there. She's never really shown it, gotten to show it. I think one of her matches with AJ was okay, but like...
I think that's part of the issue. You know, they inserted her into this match after night after WrestleMania where she won the title and... Mm-hmm. Everybody who watched her in NXT was excited because we know what she could do, and it's just not, it just hasn't translated.
I mean, it was like you gave them, okay, it's going to take a little while to build up some chemistry with AJ, but it hadn't happened. No. And so they need to move on. They need to, because I mean, I think it was a main event. I think it was Paige versus Natalya, and they fought a couple times. And I was like, this would be a good 30-minute match. Poor Natalya, she's still caught up. Like they can't do anything with her, but she's so good too. It's frustrating.
And now everybody's on Total Divas except for AJ. So I don't know if that means she's going to be excluded from TV time or what. But like, Paige is on there now.
Oh, is she? That's disappointing.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. You know, they've got some good women's NXT wrestlers.
Yep.
Right now, and if they made it to the main roster, maybe things would be different. But
I feel
wish they stay in the NXT.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin them. I mean, obviously Charlotte is ready, but I feel she could just come up and whip everybody's ass. But I was like, but then you're not going to do anything with it. So keep them in NXT where I can watch entertaining matches.
Yep. All right, and then Ambrose and Rollins main eventing. Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, buddy.
I think the first time, like, a Cena or Orton or somebody hasn't been in the main event.
Oh, that's what they said. Yeah, you're right.
For
since Brian,
10 out of the last 12 or something like that.
Since Brian versus Kane.
yeah.
That was... And I didn't know, like, okay, so Hell in a Cell... It's just so famous for all of its great spots, but like they don't do the death-defying stuff anymore. And you knew,
rightly so.
Yeah. Yes. And they shouldn't. but you also knew Ambrose and Rollins are going to try to push it as much as they can. I knew they would tease getting on top of the cell but starting it up there. I was watching this at work. In between stuff, and I was showing like all my coworkers that don't give a shit about wrestling. I was like, "Dudes, just come over here and watch this," because it was when Ambrose was up on top of the cell and the Stooges were chasing him, and I'm just like, "Look at that shit! This is awesome. That is ridiculous." And I'm so happy that they at least let them fight a little bit up top. But I was nervous as fuck.
Yeah, I was so nervous, anxious. I didn't want any of them. Like, Joey Mercury has been through enough.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Fall off a cage. God. And even the spot they did do with, like, the simultaneous bump into the announce tables off the side. It was, I mean, I appreciate that they did that. Yeah, hell of a bump. And it was kind of interesting that they did all this before the match started.
Yeah. Well, that was so great. They're on stretchers before they have started the match, which just, there's so many great things. And I think you get this a lot in Ambrose or Rollins matches, that there's so many great things on paper. You don't necessarily appreciate in the moment, but it's just like, yeah, we're going to be on stretchers before we start the match. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that's not something I don't think I've ever really seen before, except for the McFoley cage stuff, but that was, you know.
It's
we knew that shit was gonna happen.
Not to be like negative here, but like, because I always want Ambrose and Rollins to kind of elevate things. But
yeah.
I was thinking the entire time, I was like, I don't know what they can do on top or outside of this cell that will be completely unique. And I guess that fall wasn't totally unique, but it's still crazy.
Yeah, it's still crazy that they did that. And I don't even think, I mean, I certainly don't want to see them put themselves at risk like that.
Right.
Do something interesting on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, or inside the ring where you have like a little bit of,
man, the way the cell flexes when they're walking on it. It's just like, because I was like, okay, each of those little parts, it could probably only support like two or three people max. And at one point, they're like, all four of them were standing on the same. I was like, no, move away. Like, don't.
Yeah.
Because I was having the same thing as you, as fearing for
even when he got suplexed onto the cell. I was just like, ah. And I know they probably double reinforced it ever since like the Foley stuff.
Right.
And then the second time it happened with Foley, like it was meant to break away. Like they planned that spot, but it was just the nervousness and just like seeing them on the edge, like acting like they're going to throw them off the top. It's just like, just my semi heart rate racing because like if one of them just slips, you know, it's bad news. So anyway, inside the ring, it was pretty,
Sorry. Last thing. I do want to say like this, that whole opening scene really sold me on Rollins Stooges. Like I've liked them so far, and it kind of played up their importance. And I thought like he's doing such a good job being a weasel, and that he has these two guys to hide behind, and that it's not Kane and Triple H. I think that's working all right. So, all right. So we got in the ring.
Inside the ring, after getting stretchered off, everything that they do inside the ring was great. Ambrose starts throwing like hella chairs, and he finds like a medical bag or something, and
gets
pissed about it, throws it to the side. Just everything he does seems brand new to me and creative. Like I think I texted you on a while ago about a tag team match he was in with Cena, and like I wasn't even watching the match. I was just watching Ambrose like pace back and forth, like reacting to all the moves, and like he was and continues to be the most interesting thing in WWE for
me. He's working on another level. Like, all of his moves seem so natural. Like, the only move he does that annoys me, which I thought was awesome for the longest time, was that where he goes through the ropes and then comes back in. It still looks cool, but it's like, that's the only thing that kind of looks scripted from him. Like, everything else just flows, and he does such a damn good job. Like, and Rollins is just the perfect person for him to work with. They have so much chemistry, and they sell so hard for one another.
Yeah. And Rollins is like, he does things in the rings that amaze me and have since he was in Ring of Honor when I first saw him. And he's just so athletic. He can do anything. That flip bump that he takes from that clothesline you don't like is incredible.
Oh, the clothesline's like cool. It's just like,
the rope part of it.
Yeah, like, yeah. He needs to mix it up and sometimes do that clothesline, not doing that. But anyway.
Yeah, that forward flip that Rollins takes from it is like every single time. I never get sick of it. It's like an incredible bump to take, and it makes them look, both of them look so good, which is, you don't get a lot in matches that much anymore, like where one move can make both people look as good, even when one's on offense and the other's on defense. So then, you know, the lights go out.
Well, hold on. So I enjoyed the fact that like, I got a lot of satisfaction out of it because Ambrose beat the shit out of Rollins, and they worked so well, and I just enjoyed every, like, crowd was super into it. And it's just like I said, going back to the fact that this is the main event, and the fact that WWE got that just made me so happy and so excited about the future. Like, I know it's not an easy transition for them, and I'm more patient than most, but they're making, this was a huge step for them to just embrace the future of their roster.
And I wonder how much Vince had to be convinced otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that was just like a Triple H thing, or Vince actually realized like, hey, we've done Cena and Orton a lot. There's not a whole lot of fire behind them, but there is a ton of buildup and fire behind these two.
Yeah.
Let's put them on last. They're going to steal the show.
I've been carrying your show for months.
Every time. Ambrose is the most entertaining thing we have. Like, I hope they're realizing that. Because they actually gave it to us, you know, how we wanted it.
Right.
And it's weird how... It's weird to think that how much that means to internet fans of when they're where they're at on the card because of their feud. Like, they could have had that match at number one, at number three, at number eight.
Because yeah, in the end, yeah, nothing's at stake. There's no reason to give them the main event, but like they need to embrace the fact that give the main event to the thing that people care about the most, and this is it.
It's just interesting, and I'm glad they did it. So, can we go lights out?
Yeah.
Looks like your cable package is doing a Sopranos thing, except for the what'd live.
Did you think it went?
I thought the cameras went out.
Okay. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, I thought maybe there could have been a glitch. So.
Because usually, and it was a smart move on their part, because as soon as the lights go out anymore... The cell phone lights go on, and it's always, you know,
yes.
It's
a bright white. They blacked it out entirely. Yeah.
They blocked the broadcast out entirely so the fans at home wouldn't know right away who.
What was going on?
Who was. Yeah.
Because all we saw was black, and we heard the chanting.
Yep. We didn't see what was going on in their ring, which we would have been able to because of the cell lights. Because it was real bright in there when they came back. And then a smoke hologram was in the middle of the ring next to a lantern.
Smoke hologram and, ghost.
Yeah, and I know for a fact the WWE sees things like this and think it's really freaking cool.
Right.
And want to use it at their show somehow. Like, I joked after the show that they're going to have the Tupac/Michael Jackson hologram show up next.
Yeah.
And they do this kind of hokey shit and have done this kind of hokey shit forever with The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a
supernatural character.
Supernatural character. Bray Wyatt is a more realistic character and has like with supernatural tendencies, I think.
Yeah.
But this stuff with his character just seems real hokey to me.
They didn't pull it off. They didn't pull it off well because you could see the smoke literally coming out of the ring. Like the angle was bad.
Yeah.
But I kind of want an Undertaker or a supernatural character. So, and Bray's the closest thing. I want a modern Undertaker, and Bray's the closest thing we can get to that.
Sure, and I don't disagree with you that he is the closest thing.
But they have not pulled that off, but.
They didn't, and I'm sure they saw this at some convention or something before and thought it was cool and had a character they want to try it out with, but I don't want Bray to use magic.
Okay,
I guess is what I'm trying
to say. But I
guess
I didn't view it that way in the moment as him using magic or supernatural stuff. I just viewed it as yet another one of his, like, surprise, I'm on stage, and... And from that moment, from the moment he speared him, I was stoked. Because I'm just like, holy shit, Bray Wyatt versus Ambrose.
No, I'm stoked for what it means going forward. But that how they got to that point was a little stupid. And I kind of wanted to see a conclusion to Ambrose and Rollins.
That's what everybody was so upset about. Which I get that. I get, like... But I feel like they kind of had a conclusion. Like I said, Ambrose beat the shit out of him. So we got... Yes. Satisfied from the revenge side there a little bit. No, he doesn't get his pinfall, but again, it's not for anything. And
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
And they can always come back to it. Like that was kind of like I tweeted afterwards and deleted it because I didn't say it clearly. But nothing is permanent in the WWE, and I'm tired of people reacting like it is. It's just like and if it was, you don't want Ambrose and Rollins to end like permanently. You don't want that to be resolved. Yeah. And I thought. It gave a decent conclusion for Ambrose anyway. Rollins has so many people wanting to kick his ass, which is great for his character. And the what's the word? Just the kind of strength or the presence of Bray Wyatt, that is enough to distract Ambrose. So I don't know. Like, you have to lead into something, and it wasn't as an amazing of a moment as they'd wanted. But had this happened on a Raw. I don't think people would have known about it. I think it was a smart move to include it at the end of this pay-per-view.
I think that's a fair point. I think for me, it was just wanting that sense of conclusion, and that's why I was a little upset that they had like a run-in just to get that final victory over Rollins. But you're right. Like in the scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. He got his comeuppance when he kicked his ass. They can do it later. And I think part of my hesitancy to kind of fully embrace the ending is because of WWE's past of not paying off a story that they might have set up. And if they don't pay off the Ambrose and Rollins thing, they had an opportunity to. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, it's going to be shitty. But if they continue to build, like side build that while he's still facing Wyatt, like putting layers onto stories, which they haven't really been good at in the past, but they seem to be good at doing it with Rollins. Like you said, he's like, Orton wants to kick his ass. Cena wants to kick his ass. Yep. Ambrose wants to kick his ass. Like they're finally weaving all these storylines in together. And I think that's more interesting storytelling.
And then
they haven't really done it in the past.
What if Ambrose pins Rollins? Like, what does that really do for his character? Like, the fact that Rollins has been able to get the shit beat out of him for so much over the past 4 months, but he's such a strong heel, that's pretty good booking to me.
Sure. And, you know, getting Ambrose over Rollins now, when it's, like you said, it's meaningless.
Yeah.
When it's for the title, it's going to be even that bigger of a deal if they get to that point.
Because even if they had just let it finish clean, which I think would have been fine. I don't think it really would have damaged Rollins' character either.
No.
But it also wouldn't have been permanent. But I was just like that for some reason. I went to Twitter after the thing and just seeing that reaction of how they, you know, they kind of stole this moment. I was like, this is what WWE is. It's they're giving you a conclusion and moving on to the next thing at the same time. They have to do that. They have to get you to come back. And right. I was like, and if you don't realize that that's how it works, and also that they might change their mind next week. Like, well, everything is so fluid.
And also, Bray is so over with the crowd as well. Like, Ambrose is the only person to do this to get that heel heat that Bray needs to have a stronger character.
But what does that say, too, when... This makes so much sense, but I didn't see it coming. That's the like I said, the cheesiness and the hokiness of the ghost shit does kind of ruin the impact, but it's like for them to be able to kind of blindside us with, oh shit, here was the main event, and now at the end of your pay-per-view that has Cena and Orton in a Hell in a Cell, the ring is full of Rollins, Wyatt, and... Ambrose? That's how can you not be excited about the future? And like I said, they have to take baby steps, and this was a huge step for them. And it gives me hope for Cesaro and the other mid-carders that they can start to throw them in stuff. And also, like you said, you know, Bray Wyatt is so over. This is also the only way to make him a heel again. Yeah. It was by going after the most popular guy in the company. So that was a pretty smart move. He was over, but they also didn't know what to do with him. So having him absent, which was he nursing an injury, or was it just like they?
No, I think it's like, we don't have anything for you this month after the Jericho thing. And a lot of people are, I think, on the internet are getting tired of Bray Wyatt always saying the same things to different wrestlers.
And he has to have payoff with this, which I think he has potential in saying we're the same. And hopefully he, in this month off, he's taken that to heart, because he's got I never understood why he attacked Jericho. That was the whole problem with that feud, and he needs to have, as dumb as it was when he had the monster thing with Cena, it did resonate a little bit, at least made sense. Good. And he cannot be in the gray area with that shit anymore, people will get over him.
Yeah. So you said you watched this weekend. That was this week in WWE. That was Hell in a Cell. Overall, I enjoyed most of what I saw. There was a few things that I was just kind of bored by, but like the Cesaro and Ziggler match were great. Cena and Orton going on fourth was great. The match was okay, but and then Ambrose and Rollins and Wyatt does at this point.
It was as far as entertaining wrestling, it was an okay show. It was one of the middle of the road pay per views for this year from the ones we watched. But it was also, and we may look back at this as a turning point as far as them embracing their younger stars. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with the Survivor Series in 3 weeks now. You said you watched this weekend WWE. Anything interesting happen after Hell in a Cell?
So, well, I really like the, like, and I mentioned it earlier, the Ambrose and Cesaro feud kind of out of nowhere. Like, they fought this week, and they did their, they did a trick-or-treat match. Well, all you need to know is Cesaro ended up in the ring in, with a pumpkin on his head. Okay. It was a trick-or-treat street fight or something. Bray did a video on Monday, but he was in the ring at SmackDown and giving another speech and just building up, like, we're the same type of monster. And he made some tease. I think the line was something along the lines, and she's still out there waiting for you, or she's still out there. She doesn't forgive you, or so he, like, dropped something. He knows something about Ambrose's past and some girl, and I don't know what, no one knows what that means, but, like, so there's going to be something of substance there.
And that match got announced for Survivor Series on Facebook on Saturday, or after SmackDown.
I'm surprised that it's ramping up that quick. I thought maybe they get wrapped up in Survivor Series stuff and just be kind of vague for the rest of the month.
Well, I think that the fact that financials came out this week as well, and they weren't as great as analysts thought, whatever that means. I'm not in the stock market. But because of that, Vince and the WWE have announced that November is a free month for everybody. So I think they want to get everything out there as soon as possible to get people to tune into Survivor Series. Because if they wait till the last minute, like they have been waiting for, well, the past couple of pay-per-views, they're not going to get that interest level built. And if they can sustain the Ambrose and Wyatt story for a whole month leading into it and make it good, as well as whatever Survivor Series traditional match they're going to have with the Authority versus Cena and Ziggler and whoever.
Right.
Because I know Cena asked Ziggler to team up.
and Ziggler got his ass beat in the best way possible.
I think any rub that a Ziggler and who knows, you put Miz Dow on Cena's team, you know, like just for some, because Miz can't wrestle. I don't know. Yeah. Like, he's not going to go with the Authority. So.
No, but I did get excited. Well, I like the promo where Stephanie asked Cena to join the Authority. I thought that was smart.
And then Triple H's interview with Cole, I thought was really good too. Saying that, you know, hey Cena, like, your career's going to end.
Yeah. Bro. Like, they're not going to remember you.
You're not going to remember you. You need to make a choice. I thought that was
the moment was Stephanie addressed, like, do you hear them saying Cena sucks? Like, when she, like, is honest and calls out the crowd for that stuff, that's my favorite Stephanie, and the fact that she hadn't got to do that in a while because she's been, you know, she's out of the main storyline for a little bit, but it was I like that moment.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch this week in WWE to get caught up, because that stuff seems interesting to me
again. I guess maybe that was why I was surprised. I don't know how Survivor Series works, so I've never watched Survivor Series.
Okay, so it's a team of five versus five.
Okay, 5-on-5. All right.
Yeah, they usually do, like, in the early 90s, late 80s, they would do, like, every match on the card basically would be that. And now they usually just have one traditional 5-on-5 match. So it's going to be the Authority team versus Cena's team.
Okay.
Could do it with the Divas as well, but I don't know if they will.
With the vagaries with that, I was worried that – I was like, that's why I didn't think they'd do an Ambrose Wyatt thing. I was like, well, they just get wrapped up in whatever the Survivor Series stuff is. So seeing them actually announce the singles matches, you know, and then you start – I am kind of curious to see what the teams end up being, because I was excited they threw Ziggler in there right off the top.
He was like the first pick.
Yeah,
which is great for Ziggler fans, I guess.
So trying to think who else is out there. Like, I don't think they'll do Miz Dow on Cena's team, but I mean Sheamus.
Yeah, I wish it was Miz Dow. That's me just throwing an open dream out there. Sheamus will be on there. Big E maybe. Or Big Show.
I miss Big E.
Oh, no, it's going to be Big Show and Mark Henry. I think that got announced, too.
I thought is Mark Henry heel or no?
Not yet. Maybe that's still on the table, but I think that's the rumor, is Big Show versus Mark Henry.
Okay.
Let me look in something up here.
I've never been on Mark Henry's bandwagon, but seeing him slam Big Show is still impressive.
Oh, okay, so here's the rumors. Well, here's pretty much set in stone. Team Authority versus Team Cena, Ambrose and Wyatt. It was announced on the Facebook page, but nowhere else, so we'll see. There's a rumor for Sheamus versus Rusev. Mm-hmm. Which I don't necessarily think will happen. I think Sheamus will go Team Cena.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But Rusev is probably not going to be on Authority's team.
Right.
So he has to fight somebody, and who's that going to be?
Oh, shit. Who did they say? Who else was coming back?
Big E could be on Team Cena, I guess.
Yeah. They won't push Big E. They haven't done anything with Big E.
Christian hasn't been on TV.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they bring up an NXT guy.
I thought I saw a Rusev rumor. I forget what it was, but it was not.
Sheamus.
Right.
Then Mark Henry versus Big Show, just a rumor as well. I guess Henry did turn heel on Show on Monday.
Yeah.
And then another match, AJ Lee versus Nikki Bella.
Yep, saw that.
So that, she won a number they one did contender.
Number one contender. It was their Halloween costume match on SmackDown. And it came down to Paige, Alicia Fox, and Nikki. And I think Alicia went to spear Nikki, and Nikki moved away, and she speared Paige, and they both fell out of the ring. So,
okay.
And they're still doing that whole Brie is her slave for a month or whatever. So
yeah, I saw a tweet of her dressed as Daniel Bryan for Halloween.
Yeah.
With a fake beard on.
Paige dressed up as Summer Rae. That was kind of...
Oh, that's pretty funny. I'm actually kind of excited about that match because Nikki's been decent in the ring, and it's a different kind of wrestler for AJ Lee.
Yep.
And their personalities might fit. So anything else happened on this week in WWE before we get to NXT?
No, those were the things that stood out. Like I really liked, I know it's a one-off thing, but the Ambrose Cesaro, like that, I would got the potential for that in the future. Excited.
I would see an hour long with them as well.
Yeah. Like, but they did really good. They did really good. And you know, Cesaro doesn't get much credit for it. So
yeah, I think I'm going to have to find that match online somewhere to watch. So let's talk about some NXT. You said you got caught up before we started.
Yeah,
the
I watched
show.
The last two. Okay. I took a little break after the pay-per-view. Let them build stuff back up. So
you haven't missed a whole lot, really. They're building Sami Zayn as like his road to redemption after losing the match, and I'm pretty sure the December NXT event he'll win the title.
They gotta give him some payoff. And I think you can do that without taking Neville down a notch.
So I was watching the NXT show yesterday, and my wife walks in, and I was like, usually I'll turn it off after and we'll watch something together. And it was the Zayn Titus O'Neil match from this week's show. And I said, let's just watch this match. It's the end of the show. It's the last one. She's like, okay, no worries. And so we're watching it. And, you know, as a novice watcher of wrestling, she pointed out some stuff to me that I don't think about because I think more storyline focused. Like, she was like, oh my God, Titus O'Neil is huge. There's no way Sami Zayn would ever beat him. Mm-hmm. And just like the moves that O'Neil was doing to Zayn, she was just like, oh my God. And like O'Neil like slapped him at one point and he had this like wicked bruise on his side. And my wife was just like cringing, but like impressed that he was still kind of wrestling after or something like that.
Sure.
And, so when Titus gave him like a shoulder backbreaker, she was like, okay, he's going to lose. Like, there's no way he could kick out. And was just, again, shocked when he got when he kicked out. It was like, he's going to win storyline-wise. And she wasn't shocked in a good way. She was just like, incredulous.
This isn't believable.
Believable. And I was like, well, he's on a road to redemption. I'm trying to explain it to her and like pointing out cool things about Sami Zayn. Like, he's an Arab Canadian, but he's not wrestling an Arab gimmick. He's wrestling like I'm a badass wrestler gimmick. Mm-hmm. She was asking about his tights and like why he had Arabic on his tights and all those flags and stuff. So she's kind of interested in the person, but not in the reality base. And when Sami Zayn won, she was like, okay, he does two moves to him and then he wins. Yep. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
So
I have not liked any of the Titus O'Neil stuff, like, because you look at the example of what's his name? What's Natty's wife's husband's name?
Tyson Kidd.
They've done a good job of integrating him as a heel.
He is but entertaining. I actually like him.
But he feels like a member of the NXT roster, not a demotion from WWE. And I don't feel like, unless they're going long term with Titus, like, this hasn't done anything good for Titus. Like, I mean, the dude jobs all, he's jobbing in NXT now too. Like,
yeah,
a poor fucker. But it's, yeah, it, there's totally that element of, there is no, like, he is so huge, there's no fucking way. And
yeah,
I mean, and you and I both knew, like, he, so he fought Andrew Neville, Aaron Neville, the week
Aaron, before. Aaron Neville.
Yeah. The
Adrian Neville.
Oh man. I'm sorry. We know it. We know it. Got thrown off by Neville's last name.
We know Aaron. Well, we know an Andrew Neville.
Aaron Neville
is you know the singer.
But Adrian Neville, the strongest Adrian of the three of them.
Yes.
I just knew the Titus O'Neil was not going to win. So it was just that was a frustrating, because it just seems like a waste of booking. But I have not liked the Titus O'Neil stuff.
Yeah, me either. But I'm still a Sami Zayn fan, and he's been built well enough that it's going
to
be.
It does feel like it's going to be his time when and if they do it with the pay per view,
that's
going to
be an awesome pop, and it's going to feel good that when he actually does win.
Yep.
Anything else stand out to you on NXT? Oh, then Tyler Breeze came out after and said, "Well, you got to get through me first because I'm the number one contender."
I was going to say because they haven't done shit with Tyler.
Yeah, and
teased a Mojo Rawley feud.
My wife goes, I cannot take that guy's face seriously.
Oh, but he's so. Oh.
And I said, that's the point. That's the point. And she was like, I don't know. But anyway, so they're going to be fighting next week, I think, which should be awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Oh.
Because last time they fought, Breeze won the number one contender match and beat Zayn.
I like where that's going. I like pushing Zayn, and I don't feel like Breeze is going to be held down, but I want Breeze to have something to do.
Yes.
And I want him to fight Hideo. Like, I feel like Hideo's being wasted on the Ascension, but there's still plenty of time there.
I think the tapings have happened where they're bringing in Fergal from the Irish guy from Japan, as his tag team partner. I think I read that. So that should be coming here pretty soon. So that should be interesting now that he can.
So actually fight the Ascension.
Instead of getting his ass kicked. But I agree. I would love to see a Tommy versus some of the upper echelon of NXT.
Yeah. I just don't want them to forget about Tyler Breeze. I felt like they were pushing him too soon, but soon I think he's great and I love all of his matches. So yeah, don't forget about him. And the other surprising thing was, I don't know what they're going to do with the women's division. Cause I don't know if you try to do Bayley Charlotte again. But so they had Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Bayley lost, and Sasha Banks kicked the shit out of her again at the end of the match, and I thought maybe Charlotte would come break it up again, but Becky Lynch came out and saved her.
Yeah, this is the week before.
Yeah. And then Becky turned on Bayley. just like, ooh. I was like, oh no, Bayley doesn't have any friends. And
so, did you see this week about her interview in the locker room?
No, I missed that.
Okay, so she's like, thought Becky Lynch was my friend, but I've had best friends turn on me before. This is nothing new to me, but I have a friend that I'm going to get to fight. And she's like, I'm going to get Charlotte. So it's going to be her and Charlotte versus Sasha and Becky Lynch.
Okay,
and I think that could be a really interesting tag team match.
Because that was kind of weird in that fight with Bayley and Charlotte, is that I don't think Charlotte's really, she doesn't have to be a heel.
No.
And I think her just being the champ and just I think that's fine, but it's hard to have progression with the rest of that roster. So that's a smart holdover because I really wasn't excited. I thought they were going to head down the Charlotte versus Sasha Banks at the next one. It's just like, man, Charlotte doesn't really have competition. And like I said, my fears about elevating her to the main roster, well, she'll get lost. So
I think that's a good point. And the tag team match is going to be good. Just we haven't seen a whole lot of tag team matches with the women. So
yeah, no, that's smart. Cause
those four personalities working together.
They focus on tag teams for a little bit here, I think that'll be good because, like I said, Becky Lynch hasn't really gotten her time to shine. It looks like that's the next one they'll build up. And then they just brought in, what's her name? The hairdresser.
Carmella.
Yeah, so Carmella was kind of the third tier that they still have a strong like flow of women coming through that.
Her finishing submission is pretty interesting looking. I've never seen anything like that.
She doesn't look
she, she has basic matches right now because she's still learning. That totally makes sense. But her basic matches are actually pretty decent. Like the one with Bayley this past week was pretty good.
Yeah.
And she made Bayley tap out.
Yeah. That was. I don't think they'll bury Bayley. I think that all that stuff is. They're doing all right there. And
it seems like the slow builds. Like NXT is focused on slow builds. Mm-hmm. And I am completely fine with that.
So I was just thinking about this. Like, I just really like the entire roster. I was kind of I think I saw a bowl match, and Bull Dempsey kind of bummed me out.
And Mojo's out, hopefully, for a while with a shoulder thing. Like, I think he needs to be repackaged, I'm just don't like that character, personally.
Since the pay-per-view finally, I've come around on Enzo and Big Cass. Like,
they're really entertaining.
So they did a number one contenders kind of little battle royal thing,
tag team
with battle royal, that was booked brilliantly because the last three ended up being Enzo and Big Cass, the Vaudevillains, and the Ascension, and they did a smart thing where the Vaudevillains kind of hit out underneath. They went under the ropes, and so they let Big Cass and Enzo fight the Ascension, which made them look really good. And then the Ascension eliminated them, and the Vaudevillains came from behind to eliminate the Ascension because Hideo did the distraction. And I just thought that was booked so well because you didn't want to push the Ascension again. And I know you and I wanted the Vaudevillains to be the next the next one. So
I hate that they changed their music, but.
They still look good.
They still look really good. Yeah. And I think the crowd really enjoys them.
Are they doing something for Gotch? Like, whenever Gotch hits somebody, like, I feel like the crowd was chanting something. I'll have to look into it.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, they were yelling something anytime like Gotch would, like, hit somebody. So, because I feel like he's the understated one of the two, like, or the underappreciated one. He's not understated. He's kind of crazy because he's always, doing his.
He's the creator of that gimmick as well.
Is he really?
He had that.
I have this mustache. I have to do something with it.
He had that type of gimmick on the indies, I guess, because I'd never heard of him before. So I did some research, and he was doing like a vaudevillian.
I gotcha.
Indies and kind of got to keep it, which is always good, I think.
Yep.
Instead of being given something.
But I was glad I took a little bit of a break there. Like I said, I didn't have time to watch wrestling for a couple weeks and just needed to give NXT a breather after that. It's funny, after an excellent pay-per-view, the difference between that pay-per-view and the main roster one is that, like I said, I mean, it's the main roster pay-per-views will bridge to whatever is coming up next. They'll tease whatever is next. Mm-hmm. But everything felt like satisfying conclusions in that NXT, and I felt like if I can take a week or two and then get caught up and be on for what's going next, because it was such a transition for that roster with all the signings that they had right before that pay-per-view. Like, I'm really excited where it's going, and like from just top to bottom, I love that roster.
Yeah. Baron Corbin's still doing his thing, mm-hmm. which is great. Everything about NXT is great. The Ascension should be on the boring main roster soon, so they're the only thing I really don't like.
Yep.
But everything else, I'm all in. Women's, tag teams.
They just need...
Even Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd, like, I'm enjoying what they're doing.
I think they need to, like, just repackage main event, because that's the equivalent here, is that hour-long main show that needs to be mid-Carter focused, but give them some actual stories and smart bookings
instead of being a recap show for Raw,
and have that show like have its own storylines that play into each other. Like maybe it bleeds over under Raw or SmackDown, but I don't think you worry about that. Like,
it's your test show. You test things out there with a mid-card. If things catch on, then like I'm pretty sure Mizdow is main event. Like he got that shot on main event and continued, and now he's becoming more more loved by the fans because that is bleeding over to Raw. If they could build a tight show without the Raw recaps, leave that, since it's main event, it's a network show, WWE network only show, leave the This Week in WWE as it is, that be the recap show. If people really want to watch it, they will. Sure, maybe recap the main event on main event, the main event storyline. But like, use that to build your mid-card guys. You have so many guys that aren't on TV,
yeah,
which it boggles my mind when you have a three-hour show, how many guys you don't have on TV every week. So
they just, yeah, they just really didn't take a hard look at what their TV time is, what their, or like,
and maybe they're spread too thin and aren't able to do that with the main event because they have so many hours of Raw and SmackDown to write each week. But
I think, you know, the only
Ira, have a separate group of writers just focused on main event only.
It's either that or you make, that's what you make SmackDown. I still don't see the point of having Ambrose on twice a week, like, because you don't advance anything ever with SmackDown. Like, it's entertaining for that, like, that live crowd, and that's the problem, and we've talked about that. But, like, SmackDown does need to become its different brand and needs to be those other guys. And because I think you could make Raw a powerhouse show if you just, like, it really, like, you make it like that farm system like we kind of talked about. And but it's tough because of that TV deal with SmackDown that I know Sci-Fi would not be too excited. It's like, Cena's never going to be on your show.
But I think that's, you know,
maybe
if main event's your AA and SmackDown's your AAA, mm-hmm. Raw's your main roster, I think you have something there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the SmackDown live shows, and I don't know what their numbers are in terms of arena size or what they're selling. But if they, you know, 5,000 people and under for SmackDown, if they can make money doing that, still televise it.
Well, you kind of said
Cena there every once in a while.
You kind of said that maybe like NXT might be getting to the point where they can travel a little bit. Like, you maybe pick a dozen cities. Triple
H's wishes, yeah.
And that, I could see that becoming SmackDown. Like, it can still travel, but it's to markets where you know this is going to work, and with that roster and book it that way. But I don't know. Like, they like I said, they have to make baby steps, and it'll take them a while to kind of. They need to, like, you have the WWE network, and you need to make smart decisions around it, and involve, and your TV stuff is involved in that. But they need to. They just really need to take a step back and look at what they're actually working with.
Well, and I think they're so focused on the network and getting subscriber numbers that other parts of the business are suffering.
Yeah.
So,
but man, the talent's
there.
It's so good.
The wrestling has never been better. I don't like the athletic maneuvers that these guys are doing, and the matches that they're telling have never been as athletic in the history of wrestling.
Yep.
So, I mean, outside of like some crazy indies like of Gorilla, the athletes that they have versus what WWE has. WWE is telling a different story than those two promotions are, but wrestling as a whole has never been more athletic, and it's gonna bring more eyes to it eventually.
Yep, it'll get there.
All right, so we kind of did some predictions while we were going through that, so we don't have to focus any time on predictions. Was there anything else that you want to talk about?
I mean, I kind of told
about the OVW show I went to.
No, and I'm really upset that I didn't get to go because you were actually in Louisville, which is only an hour or so away from me. And yeah, you saw some indie wrestling.
I did. I went to Ohio Valley Wrestling. Not what it used to be when it used to be the WWE. It used to be NXT, basically, when Florida Championship Wrestling took over after OVW, I think. And as the WWE talent training ground or whatever. And they had like CM Punk, Randy Orton, and John Cena. Like, everybody went through there. So it had a bigger stature in the independent scene than it does now. But they still have like a lot of production value. Like, they're on TV every week in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
They had lights and cameras. They said that they're filming a reality show. Camera crew that was there filming a reality show. They peer pressured me into sitting on the hard camera side because they saw that I was by myself and I wasn't like sitting with a group of people. So the dude on the microphone called me out before the show and had me move over, which was cool. Like, I didn't have a problem with. But the main reason why I wanted to go was because of Colt Cabana. I follow him on Twitter, listen to his podcast, and he had tweeted out that he was going to be there. And so I sent him a message asking if it would be weird to show up by myself to a show. And he said, no. And it was in this like little warehouse district in Louisville, outside of Louisville, probably, I want to say 10 to 15 minutes south of Louisville, like the downtown anyway. And I mean, I don't know how many people there, 200 to 500. I don't, I'm not a good estimator of people, but Cole Cabana had a merch table before the show, and it was a TV taping for Ohio Valley Wrestling TV. One of his podcasting buddies, he played Deuce or Domino back in the early 2000s on WWE television.
Was it like the biker gang?
They had like a, it was like a Fonzie 50s, okay. Or right. Not Fonzie. Well, a little bit of Fonzie, a little bit of, he was one of those guys. His nickname is Mr. 1859 now, because he was on the 18th and the 59th episode of The Art of Wrestling, which is Colt Cabana's wrestling show. And his name is Cliff Compton, and he wrestles in OVW regularly. But gotcha. Talked to Colt Cabana a That's little bit, cool. bought a That's t-shirt, cool. Asked him, thanked him for doing the podcast because I love it. Asked him thanks for responding to my tweet, and then we had a 5-minute conversation about feeling awkward when you go by yourself to things. Like I was like, yeah, I feel that way about movie theaters. He's like, I'm not bad at movie theaters anymore, but comedy shows, when I go to a comedy club by myself, I feel really weird and really insecure about it.
Don't know when to laugh.
That was kind of cool. This douchebag before me was like, hey, it's Scotty Goldman from NXT. And that was Colt Cabana's like character name. Yeah. And he looks at me and he's like, can you believe what this guy just said? And I was like, yeah, what a dick. And made him laugh. So that was good.
I was like, that is not who I am. Like, that is. That's...
Yeah. And so the show was okay. The best part was Cliff Compton and Colt Cabana did a tag team versus whoever OVW has. They had some huge dude who used to be in WWE developmental. I forget what his name was, but the level of Colt's like showmanship and ability and just everything about him and his character was just like leaps and bounds above everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, he got the crowd into it right away. He wasn't like, oh, I'm just here collecting a paycheck. Like, I literally saw a dude I never heard of before, wasn't very good and young in the wrestling business, in a tag team match after that Colt Cabana match, mm-hmm. who looked like so disinterested in that, the fact that he was there, like I could not take my eyes off of him. I didn't care what the match was going on. I was like, this guy, why is this guy even here? He does not give a shit.
Yeah, that's gotta be weird.
So that part kind of sucked, that I saw both sides of the thing. Like, I wanted people to be really good, and there were some good parts of each match. Like, there was one dude who had a prosthetic leg, he really reminded me, like, body style of, like, body size and weight and stuff of, like, Chris Benoit. Like, he was just, like, short and solid. Mm-hmm. And he was actually a really good wrestler. He was their television champion, I think.
Cool.
But just seeing him with, like, that disability and, you know, landing correctly with a leg that you have no control over, how it bends and stuff like that, was
really
awesome. I definitely recommend going to indie shows. They're really cool.
Yeah, I wonder, I don't know how you really find out about that stuff. Like, so OVW is what, the notch below Ring of Honor, you'd say? Or is it even that high?
I guess. So what used to be TNA's developmental, until recently. So it's
all right then. All right.
It's as well known, I would say, as a Ring of Honor. Because of the history that they have, not because of eyeballs.
I mean, yeah, I had heard of OVW, so that means, that was because I knew it was the path to the WWE.
But they don't have the caliber of wrestlers that Ring of Honor has.
The Ring of Honor is, it can't be that old, right? That seems to be like...
Ring of Honor came up out of ECW's death, so like 2003, I think they came out, 2002.
That makes sense.
And OVW's been around a lot longer than that.
Right.
But... Yeah, it's just a different... It's more of a training facility. Like, these are...
Is it always in Louisville, or does it kind of rotate around?
It's always in Louisville. I think they might go to Evansville sometimes.
Okay.
And New Albany, Jeffersonville, that area.
And Colt Cabana's not there that often. That was a special thing.
No, that was the first time that he's been there in, like, 7 years, he said. But Cliff Compton's always there, and Colt said he'd go there more often. And he lives in Chicago, so it's only, like, a 5-hour drive for him.
Yep.
But check it out if you get a chance to go. They have weekly TVs.
I need to say,
and then Saturday sometimes they'll have like bigger shows.
Eventually, I bet Josh and I would head down there for something. Yeah, so I'll have to rope him into that.
Be fun.
Hopefully we get him on the show after. We'll do a show after Survivor Series, but hopefully we might get a couple other dudes for that.
Since you like to make trips out to Vegas for wrestling, Ring of Honor is having a show in March before WrestleMania here in Las Vegas.
That sounds like a good dumb excuse to spring break.
At the Orleans Arena, which is, I think, seats like 5,000 to 9,000 people or something like that.
Let's book it.
So, I'm definitely getting tickets for that, and that should be awesome. And actually, there's like a local indie wrestling here in Las Vegas. I forget what it's called. I haven't gone yet, but the people we went to Raw with were talking about going to, so...
How?
I might check that out. They seem to have bigger names there, like Matt Hardy was their champion. So, not that I necessarily want to see that.
So they hired jerks.
No. Yeah, but just indie wrestling. I think it's getting more popular.
And how?
That's a good sign for WWE.
How tempted are you to go to Hood Slam?
So, for people who don't know what Hood Slam is, I am 100% tempted.
I want to go see Drugs Bunny.
First Friday of every month, or second Friday, I forget what.
Right.
As Dan said.
It's somewhere in Oakland, right?
Yeah. And somewhere in Oakland, and it's just, you guys should look it up. Me explaining it is not going to do any justice to it. There's drinking, there's drugs, the wrestlers are doing them inside the ring. People are just getting crazy in the audience. Like, you're up next to the...
It sounds like it's so much more performance-based, too. Like, it's just it's almost wrestling theater at some point, wrestling comedy theater, or...
That's exactly what it is.
It just sounds ridiculous, because they don't even book it. They don't even promote it as wrestling, but...
No. I'm going to be in the area for Christmas, but not going to be in there for the right time, so where I would go or try to go.
That's just me trying to push you into going to see it so we can tell stories. So,
look up Hood Slam if you haven't already. We cannot do it justice. It looks crazy. But then I did watch the Friday after I went to the OVW show, Colt Cabana was going to this place called Family Entertainment Wrestling, or Family Wrestling Entertainment. And, I forget what it is. It's not really family based at all.
Sounds wholesome. But
they had a free, iPay-per-view streaming on YouTube on Friday. And then they had a paid one on Saturday. And despite some technical difficulties, Colt Cabana was on commentary on Friday, and a lot of it you can't hear. Mm-hmm. The wrestling was phenomenal. A lot of like ROH guys or guys who could be in ROH were wrestling there. It was just like the top indie guys from top to bottom of the card were wrestling there. So the free one on Friday, you can check it out. I think it's still on YouTube. Just search for Family Wrestling.
We need to come up with some sort of like recommended YouTube watching list
if you haven't watched any of the independent shows like Ring of Honor or not so much their TV but any of their pay-per-views, or even you should check out this Family Wrestling Entertainment. Cool. You're gonna absolutely love it.
I don't have time to love anything more wrestling.
you're gonna wish the WWE was like this.
No, it's fun to be excited about wrestling again. So the only rabbit hole I went down is kind of worth mentioning was, I can't remember if I think I actually started this trying to figure out what they did with Cesaro in NXT, but it was also related to just my Bray Wyatt fascination. No, I lied. I was trying to see what they did with Rusev.
Okay.
So I went back to I guess it was old NXT, but I found a tag team match on YouTube of Rusev and Cesaro I think it was Anthony Cesaro. I think they did
Antonio Cesaro.
And they sort of played up. He definitely looked very military. He looked like Jason Statham in Expendables. Yep.
He was like part of the Swiss Guard or something.
Yeah, and Rusev had short hair, but it was just still huge. And it was him versus Bo Dallas and Husky Harris, which Bray Wyatt's old gimmick. And I kept talking about just like how, I forget the phrase they used with Husky Harris, that he's like he's an agile tank. And because I was really curious, like I didn't know that Bo and Bray, who are brothers in real life, actually kind of how they worked together. Because they've done such a good job of making their characters separate, I was actually surprised to find that they tag teamed.
Yeah.
But it was cool because I like just to see where these guys came from as I'm kind of, you know, trying to get into the new blood and WWE and but also understand their history.
I think the stuff you can watch on the network, and I don't know if you've gone back and watched some of this stuff, is the Cesaro and Sami Zayn matches.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they had a 2 out of 3 falls match, I think. That was incredible. And that's when Cesaro had made it to the main roster and came back to NXT.
Oh, nice.
And he got even more over from doing that on the main roster because their matches were so incredible.
Sure. Yeah.
I think they fought 2 or 3 times. So, and it's still on the network, so you should check it out.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess earlier this year, maybe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it's earlier this year.
I just wanted to see Rusev be a little bit more human to see what his other potential was. And I'm always curious to see how Bray Wyatt works the ring, because he's just kind of, you know, not very very conventional, and I always look for those guys where I can't predict their 3 moves, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, obviously Bray has some standout ones, but I was just trying to dig back into the history a little bit. And but yeah, if you can make, we need to make a YouTube list for other people and for me, and
we can post stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, because there's some Japanese stuff that I watch that's really good well. And there's one match, one of the best tag team matches I've ever seen, and I can't remember where I saw it, probably on YouTube or something. It was the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon and Ring of Honor, and some of the spots they did were unique and creative, and just on the Art of Wrestling as well, and Colt Cabana's show, and they're probably the best tag team in the world right now.
Like, I don't want to do go back to and watch an entire pay-per-view type of thing for these shows, because I don't think we have enough time the way that we've been doing these, but I wouldn't mind picking a YouTube match.
All right, that's going to be the first match you need to watch. I'll find a link for it and send it to you.
Awesome.
Red Dragon versus Young Bucks. It's holy shit.
All right.
There's a tombstone, and they're these guys, they were in TNA as the Generation Me when they were younger, and they were super athletic. They're like Hardy Boys, but not jerks. and they have that same style, and they left and they just stopped giving a shit and just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. And they're in this group called Bullet Club in Japan who gives the NWO sign, 2 sweets all the time. Says their catchphrase all the time. Just doesn't give a shit. And they do that on independent shows as well. And then they have the super kick party, which they just throw super kicks all the time. And it's awesome. And sometimes they're not the greatest super kicks, but they're just fucking awesome.
Right.
You know? And, they did this one spot. I want to spoil it for you, but I don't at the same time.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it next time.
Yeah. It's so fucking incredible, and I hope you pick it up, what I'm talking about, because there's so many in the match, but there's one that just, I had to rewind it, 5 times.
I'll make notes when I watch it, and we'll, yeah, cool.
Cool, man. So I think that's going to do it. We've talked quite a while just about wrestling. I think that means we need to do this more often.
I was going to say, I had to get it out, so we'll figure out the right pacing for these episodes, but...
Yeah, so... Listen for one in the future. We don't have a schedule yet for these, but we'll figure something out.
At least after Survivor Series.
Yeah, at least after Survivor Series, and then definitely probably after the NXT next quarterly pay-per-view thing. But we hope you enjoyed it, and check us out next time. See ya.
Later.